Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Congratulations to Christina Stovey. Christina Stovey, winner of the tickets. She's going to be heading up here. She's going to be going to the game. I think Lopez is searching her on Facebook right now.
I am not.
Like a creep.
I am like not. A creep. You're just making stuff
up. What is
up.
That search right there?
I'm not, man. I'm not doing searching anything,
yeah,
man.
Okay. Okay. I see you.
You owe me an apology.
Okay. All right, John. Why are you blushing?
I don't blush.
Congratulations. You and a lucky person will be going to the game tonight to watch the Texans versus the Indianapolis Colts. The Myles Garrett suspension.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting interesting. Yesterday, the news came out that the focal point of his entire appeal centered around a former Houston Texan. You remember Antonio Smith?
Yeah.
When he was suspended in 2013.
Swung a helmet.
He was only suspended for two preseason games and one regular season game for swinging his helmet at then Dolphins offensive lineman Richie Incognito.
Mm-hmm. Who probably deserved it, of course.
Yeah, but I still don't know if I would want that smoke with Richie Incognito.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett suspended indefinitely, including for the remainder of the season. He's pointing to how long that suspension was for the former Houston Texan offensive lineman to make his case. And now there's this news that just broke, courtesy of Josina Anderson and Adam Schefter.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were throwing this out there before it came to fruition, but it is right there. Myles Garrett is now saying that Mason Rudolph called him a racial slur before the brawl broke out. This was during an appeal hearing with the NFL on Wednesday. He said that basically, Mason Rudolph called him a racial slur.
And we know what that probably would be.
Yeah.
What word that would be because of the people involved in this. This is going to sound really, really weird, and I know it going in, but it's the first thought that came to mind. I kind of hope that there's proof, audio, somebody
mic'd
up.
There's mics all over the place,
yeah, somebody
right?
mic'd up, some audio somewhere. Because this is such a polarizing thing if it's just hearsay. You know, we're already seeing, well, why did he wait a week? And, you know, why did Marquise Pouncey come to Rudolph's defense? And there are counterpoints to that as well, you know. And you got the entitled little brat white quarterback that some people immediately are going to say, yeah, I could see him saying that. You know, there's got to be some audio, some proof here.
Sheldon Richardson from the Browns is saying that this is the first he's heard of this. So,
but again, doesn't
lineman,
mean it's not true.
Well, I'll just say this. It seems a little bit
Jussie Smollett
interesting. It does seem a little bit interesting that this is coming out because Myles Garrett's done interviews since this happened, and if this was the case, it just seems like, and I could be wrong, it just seems like this would have come up. Now.
Yeah.
And there's Steelers offensive linemen standing up for him. No teammate on the Browns says that they heard it. I feel like this is a little bit ridiculous. And I'll say this. If it comes out that Myles Garrett is lying about this, I don't ever want to see him in the NFL again, honestly.
But see, that hot take that you just said about all that is going to be countered by a lot of other people, right? And so that's why I sure hope we hear the audio of this, or there is audio of this one way or the other.
I just find it weird that it would just now be coming out.
And that's
and
fair.
Also, I got to consider it's Josina Anderson too, and Schefter's on it too. But I'm gonna have to hear a little bit more about this from Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems a little bit strange. And when a Browns teammate, like, you would think that it would come up with a teammate or something like that. When Sheldon Richardson said, this is the first I've heard of it, it just seems like this would be like, if it actually happened, Myles Garrett, the first time he wouldn't have said it wouldn't be when he was going to his appeal hearing. That's just me. I'm not condoning anything. And God knows, I've been critical as hell of Mason Rudolph. I think Mason Rudolph is a punk.
Mm-hmm.
I think he handled himself like a punk. I think he should have gotten suspended. But
no,
this just seems a little bit weird to me.
I totally agree. And that's why I hope there is some definitive evidence on this, because it's going to get ugly and people are going to
So what if he's lying?
People are going to
be. If he's lying, what do you think?
I mean, if he's lying, he's going to pay the price, you know, publicly. But we don't know. That's my point. I hope there's audio here, because that's a hell of a...
So you think it should just be a public thing? If it gets exposed that Myles Garrett's just making this up.
You're going to get sued for real.
Well, what I was going to say is... I mean, this is about as low as you can get if you're Myles Garrett. You know, to use that accusation in your defense, that's about as low and slimy as you can get.
And Myles has been a dirty player all year. I mean, he's one of the most penalized guys.
Yes.
So his aggression on the field, obviously it hadn't gotten to this level. So, I mean, he's been getting late hits all year.
Right. And so that's about as low and awful as you can get trying to defend yourself. So
you don't think there should be a punishment if he's lying? Because I think in today's news, with how there's the extreme, there's the extreme on both sides of news when it comes to stuff like this, to a lot of people, and a lot of these people don't matter, but on the internet they do. And
is there a punishment for that? Can you punish that, I should say?
I don't want to see my. I mean, I just think if what Myles Garrett did and the severity of what he did.
It's proven false.
Yeah. And he goes in there to defend himself and he tells a lie like this. I think the punishment should be more significant.
But I'm saying,
I think in today's climate, if you're going to sit there and lie on something like this, then there should be some punishment. Now, on the other hand, if it gets proven that Mason Rudolph did say that, I don't know. Like, what am I supposed to say? Is Mason Rudolph supposed to like?
But here's my point, Landry.
Suspended indefinitely too.
If you penalized NFL people for lying, no coach would ever coach ever. So you can't punish lying. What I'm saying,
lies like this you can. Lies like this you can.
Under what rule?
Well, it's an appeal hearing. I mean, didn't Sean?
No,
Payton,
you'd be punishing the throwing of the helmet.
Sean Payton basically got punished for lying. He lost a year. He lost a year.
When they were investigating the
bounty gate, part of the reason that he got as severe of a punishment was because he lied.
Well, no, but he wasn't getting punished for lying. He was getting punished
But the lie added to the punishment.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Well, you know, you can't punish a guy for lying in the NFL. No one would play. No one would coach.
Yeah, but not everybody is under investigation for doing what Myles Garrett did.
That's what I'm
saying.
He's
lying. If he's lying, he's lying during an investigation. He's not going up to the podium and lying about injuries or lying about, you know, getting a different job or something.
Well, let me ask you something
else.
He's
lying during an investigation. He is meeting with the NFL to investigate why he did what he did, and he's throwing this out there. This lie is different than just a normal lie that you see every day during a press conference.
Let me ask you this, Landry. How do you know he's lying?
We said if.
Yeah.
Now you're acting like you're like cross-examining me or something.
No.
I mean, you said if.
No, that's what Landry, I started this whole conversation with saying, I sure as hell hope we have.
Well, I never said I knew he was lying. I've prefaced it with if. But so now you're just like asking questions just to back me into a corner that doesn't need to be backed into.
Henry, I'm not even backing you into anything. My whole point here is I sure as hell hope there's definitive proof here because of stuff like you just said. That's my point.
And my question was,
you basically enhanced my point by jumping to all these conclusions and saying all these possibilities and he should be suspended for lying. That's why, because people are going to be butting. I understand.
I know you said if.
But that's why, you know, people are going to be butting heads and yelling at each other and saying that it's racial and it's bias. And
I mean,
it's
clearly racial if it was a racial slur.
And it's prejudice and you're dumb and you're biased and all. You have to have proof on this. And what I'm saying is that's a hell of an allegation for him to throw out there just to casually if it's not true. So that's why you have to have the definitive proof, because people are going to go nuts like you just went nuts.
I'm not nuts on it. I'm just saying that if he is lying about this, and I think that it's just weird that none of his teammates are backing him on this. None of the Steelers are backing him on this. You look at this right there. There's two guys right there in the mix as they're showing the replay here. None of them are doing it. None of them seem like they probably would have heard it. It just seems like if this happened to Myles Garrett, he did. I mean, he met with the media right afterwards. Why would he not have immediately said
this? Let me ask you this.
Immediately.
How many times over
the course... If that's what set you off immediately.
Hold on. How many times over the course of a 60-minute game in the NFL is that word mentioned?
Like, by a white guy?
No. Just mentioned.
I don't know. Probably a lot.
Yeah, an awful lot. So it's hard to say, like, what's what. And
damn,
and,
dude, you might need to go try to be Myles Garrett's lawyer or something like that, John. Like, what are you talking about?
No. Those are players who hear that word on every snap.
So they might have just thought it was just, if it was said, they might have just thought it was like
right.
pouncy or something.
Well, no, like if you're on the line of scrimmage, how many times are you hearing that word before a snap? Probably a dozen, you know? So I don't know. And that's why I want definitive proof, because that's a hell of an allegation he just levied.
And I also want Myles Garrett, like he's got I want to see like some sort of interview or some sort of context on this too, because that's the whole thing about this is the like jumping the gun and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Let's go to the phones. 713-572-4610. Lamont, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey man, I ain't saying it it's false or true, but I find it really is Marquise Pouncey still black?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, man. That's kind of I put it to you like this. If somebody on my squad, get called the N-word and he's white, and somebody on the other squad whoop his ass, I'm going to let the ass whooping happen. Marquise Pouncey stepped up for him. Now, you know, and like I said, I ain't saying that this false or true or anything like that, but the fact that he had black dudes coming to his defense, man, it's kind of shaky. That's all I have.
They were protecting the quarterback, which is what offensive linemen are ingrained. It's ingrained in their head from the moment. Anything happens to the quarterback, you step up.
How stupid would you have to be if you're Mason Rudolph?
Oh, I get it.
On the other side of it, if you said the N-word while you're on a football field with a bunch of African-American teammates too.
No, you'd be idiotic.
What a dumb ass.
Yeah, you'd be idiotic.
And he already is a dumb ass, the way that he acted in general. Just crazy. It's going to be interesting to see how this shapes out. I mean, there's got to be mics, right?
I sure hope so.
I mean,
I
right?
sure hope somebody in the middle of that was mic'd up or somehow there was
somebody
audio
like a ref, something like that. People, like someone's mic'd up, right?
Because, I mean, it's happening right now on our show. I mean, people go nuts. This is one of those topics, one of those instances that people will automatically think, I'm right, you're wrong, this is why, this is not why, blah, 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 blah. It's awful. So, I mean,
I know on SoundFX, someone's always mic'd up.
Yeah.
And they always have, and this was a primetime game, so you got to think there was some sort of mic. So we'll see. It's interesting. But Myles Garrett's claiming that Mason Rudolph threw a racial slur at him that sparked what we saw a week ago today.
Yeah.
What if we see a fight like that tonight? Who would be the most likely Houston Texan to be in the middle of that? We'll discuss that, and we'll also talk about two guys that nobody's talking about that are going to play a huge role in tonight's game. That's next. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610 Game Day. Texans versus Colts. Tonight's winner, 75% chance to advance to the postseason. Loser, 20% chance in regards to the division. Wild card still way up in the air. We'll deal with that if we have to tomorrow. We've been talking about the key guys in this game. T.Y. Hilton looks like he's going to go for the Colts. Deshaun Watson, Jacoby Brissett, we know we'll see them on the field. DeAndre Hopkins, all the stars. But there are two guys that John Lopez says we need to be keeping an extra close eye on. And he says that these two guys that nobody's talking about could actually be the key to the game tonight.
Absolutely. And for the Texans, we don't give Zach Cunningham near enough credit for number one, for the season that he's had, but also for how key he is right now when they're shorthanded in the secondary. Whitney Merciless in the pass rush is not getting it done. Zach Cunningham is the closest thing this team has had to a sideline to sideline linebacker since Brian Cushing. I mean, Brian Cushing, healthy Brian Cushing. He's just making plays. He's got 79 tackles this year, which leads the Texans and I think is 10th in the NFL. And when you've got, yeah, but Marlon Mack's not playing. It's not going to matter a whole lot. Mack is really good. Don't get me wrong. But they're getting a lot of production from Hines. They're going to have Williams had, what do you have, buck 13 last week? Something like that.
116
last week. And, you know, T.Y. Hilton and Ebron on the short crossing routes or whatever. Zach Cunningham is going to be huge for this Texans defense, given where they're short everywhere else.
And you look at Justin Houston. Justin Houston was their big pickup in the offseason. You know, the Colts really, they took the approach that a lot of Texans fans were upset with. They were pretty conservative this offseason.
Yeah.
Which makes it even more impressive that they're in first place heading into this game, because Andrew Luck retires and you have Marlon Mack, T.Y. Hilton out. It's impressive what they've done, but they were conservative. Justin Houston was the one guy that they aggressively pursued and that they brought in there. And he's going to be going against a guy that the Texans basically threw all their chips on the table for this season.
Yeah.
Laremy Tunsil, or maybe even Titus Howard, who the Texans used a first-round pick on. So it's basically going to be the offseason acquisition battle on the outside in the quest to protect Deshaun Watson.
And last time the Texans played against Justin Houston, he had two sacks. I mean, he was pivotal in that game that the Colts won 30-23 in week 7. Here's the other thing. He's got a sack in 6 straight games. Justin Houston is a problem. I mean, that's going to be what it's all about. And, oh, by the way, there's another little hidden factor in here. Justin Houston lining up with all that potential momentum he's got going for him, 8 sacks in the last 10 games, sacks in 6 straight games, against a guy who was prone to jump when at the line of scrimmage. And I mean, Laremy Tunsil's the most penalized player in the NFL.
How many penalties is he going to get tonight?
He's going to get at least one, right? At least one? False start? I mean, Justin Houston's going to be coming at him. You know, especially like a 3rd-and-7 or something, an obvious passing situation. It's Justin Houston's going to be a big factor, I'm telling you, man. And Zach Cunningham for the Texans.
Also in town, friend of the show, used to do a weekly hit here, Jerod Johnson.
Yeah, I've been texting with him a little bit.
Jerod Johnson on the team plan. You want to share those texts? Let's read them.
Actually, no. I think I'm going to have to pass on that.
Let's go inside the phone of John Lopez. Let's go inside the phone. I want to put you on the spot here. What is Jerod, of the stuff that you can tell us that you and Jerod have been talking about, and Jerod is now an offensive assistant for the Indianapolis Colts, what is something that like,
what is his feel?
His feel of this team heading into the game.
I never put Jerod in that spot. I mean, I hate to cop out. I know you're trying to put me on the spot, and I would answer a lot more honest. Well, I am answering honestly, but I would give you a better answer. I just, when he's coaching a team that the team you cover is playing, I don't put him in that spot. I don't ask him about anybody or any injuries or anything like that. I will say he's real happy there. He's real happy with what they have at the quarterback position, you know, where he works every day with the quarterbacks. But I was telling you before the show, I mean, I could have had those stories, you know, about T.Y., you know, playing or not playing, or Ebron playing or playing, but I ain't going to put Jerod in that spot.
The one thing that I remember him kind of saying was, and again, it just keeps going back to the good job that Frank Reich's done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he loves those guys.
He was pretty excited about Funchess. He was excited about Devin Funchess, who has only played, what, like a quarter or 2 quarters for the Colts all year?
But he loves Reich and Ballard. I mean, just loves them.
I haven't heard anyone really say anything bad about Frank Reich, you know, except that damn game against the Oilers.
James Palmer, just backing up what was reported yesterday, tweeted a couple of minutes ago, T.Y. Hilton, who was questionable with a calf, told him that he believes he's good to go for tonight. So kind of what we thought, not exactly breaking news, but he's definitely going to play.
You think it gets physical with him and Jonathan Joseph? They've been known to throw hands before.
Oh, yeah. Joseph is embarrassed, man. He better be. He should be. People are talking about, did you see I don't know if it was a meme or not, but there was a picture of the Houston skyline with the tagline, Hilton, Texas. And you know that gets back to the secondary room, you know, and they hear us talking. They, you know, Jonathan Joseph is one of our biggest listeners.
He's a loophole.
Yeah. He knows what it's all about. And he knows that people that he wore a clown mask and people are really giving T.Y. Hilton all this credit for just owning this city. I mean, look at his numbers. What, 1,643 yards, something like that?
Over 100 a game.
Yeah. In 16 games and 10 touchdowns. Dude owns the Texans. So they hear it. I mean, they just got to be able to respond. And frankly, I don't know if they will.
Man, and you know, a lot of people have been talking about Romeo Crennel. He just gets a free pass from me, man. Like, and I don't even consider it a free pass. I don't think it's fair to criticize Romeo Crennel or expect him to do as much. Mm-hmm. Like, look at the personnel that he's working with right now. No Justin Reed. You got Lonnie Johnson. He's out. J.J. Watt's hurt. They traded Clowney for a bag of peanuts.
Yeah.
Adams is going to be out. You have a depleted secondary. Bradley Roby's been out for a month. You're trading for guys that were failed first-round picks in other areas. Like, what do you want him to do?
Yeah.
Like, he really doesn't have a lot to work with. And on the other side of the ball, if you look at the offense, I mean, you traded two first-rounders for Stills and Tunsil. You traded for Duke Johnson. You traded for Carlos Hyde. You drafted two offensive linemen with early draft picks. I mean, the offense should be carrying the defense. We shouldn't be. I mean, you have to evaluate players, teams, anything you evaluate in sports. You have to evaluate it based on realistic expectations
and performance.
Tom Landry, Bill Belichick wouldn't be able to call a very good defense with this Texans team that he's working with.
Right.
I mean, he could probably do better than most, but this Texans defense and the people that they got out there wouldn't be that good with the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And Romeo's one of the best of all time. I just think the offense needs to take them home. That's where you've invested the most. Follow the money.
Yeah.
That's a journalism rule, John. That's one of the main rules in journalism. I think it should be one of the main rules in life. Like when trying to figure something out and figure out how something's going, follow the money, follow the resources.
Yeah.
The resources have been thrown at the offense. The defense is depleted. Offense has to take them home tonight, period.
If you just look at, you know, forget that it's a short week and the Colts are traveling. You just look at like man for man. I mean, this defense is outmanned by the Colts offense. That's not Deshaun Watson quarterbacking them, but just go across the board, man. Where does this Texans defense have an edge? Defensive line over their offensive line? No. Secondary over their receivers? I mean, not now. Maybe if they're healthy, because all they really have is T.Y. Hilton. I mean, I know they got Pascal, some others, et cetera, but no. Linebackers against the run? Maybe Zach Cunningham, but
McKinney.
Yeah, maybe McKinney's Zach Cunningham and McKinney. So maybe they have a slight edge there.
McKinney's really good against the run.
I mean, but this defense is overmatched.
But Darius Leonard's the best linebacker on the field.
No, I'm just talking about this defense is overmatched by the – it cannot match up with this Colts offense for 80 plays, for 65 plays.
No.
You know, they're going to have to get their offense scoring, and they're going to have to come up with some kind of a big play defensively. Because if all things being equal, no turnovers, no nothing – the Colts are going to be able to put points on the board against this Texans defense. I mean,
you think so, though?
Yeah,
the Colts aren't really exposed. You do.
Yeah, I do.
No hesitation. Over under 20 and a half tonight for the Colts.
Now, why'd you say 20 and a half?
Because that's what I heard.
You have a vested interest in this?
No, I'm just asking you. Would over under
20 and a half for Colts points?
Yeah, the problem is they can't. They miss field goals and they miss extra points.
I'm saying over.
Over.
Okay. I'm with you. Deshaun's going to have to put 30 on the board, you know, if they're going to have a chance to win.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get some more predictions in just a second. Little Thursday future. You ready to trip? You want to trip?
Well, let's go.
All right. Let's do a little Thursday future trip it. Pass it off to Wade and Clint next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.